better just leave it there, I wonder. Let's see here. Justin, are you any good at? I'll just leave it down. Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to talk about repairing. So that's actually a part of the sermon illustration. I even brought my hammer. Now raise your hand if you believe. Well, that's not. I'll be responding to the invitation here this morning. Just a minute. All right, let's start this over. Good morning. All right. Hopefully nothing else is going to fall down or fall apart, but we're glad you're here this morning. We do have a wonderful day on this Lord's Day to be together and just spend this time in worship. And we've been singing to God. We've been talking to God and these songs and these prayers that we've offered and communing with Him in the Lord's Supper. And now we get to hear a portion of God's Word. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and hold those up. iPhones, tablets, whatever you got there that got the Bible on there. We want to hear God's Word here this morning. We've been looking at for a number of weeks now, kind of about us as the church. And we're going to be continuing to do that in the weeks to come. But we've been really taking a look at the church, who we are and in connection to one another, how we are to love one another and how we are to be conscious of each other, how we are a family in the body of Christ, that we're not just an organization. We are a family. And so we've been looking at a number of these lessons kind of in this broad area and this theme. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we talked about family, there's a lot of parallels between our physical, biological, earthly family and the church, our spiritual family. And one of the things that is similar, a parallel that we could make, is just as in a physical family, there's going to be some fighting, some fussing, there's going to be some relationships that get strained. Guess what happens in the church? That's right, same thing. You see, it's not an issue, it's not a question of whether we're going to mess up. It's not the messing up that destroys the love, the harmony, the unity, the fellowship of the church. That's going to happen, just like it's going to happen in your family. I don't know how it is in your home, in your house, with your family, but we fight. We have some fusses. And sometimes they're pretty good ones, too. And I'm not just talking about now between mom and dad and the kids. I'm talking about between my wife and I. That's not the issue. Matter of fact, Christian counselors have noted over the years, I've read some of these, that they're able to kind of determine with some pretty good certainty if couples are going to divorce or stay together. And one of the things that they looked at and they've observed is how they fight. Not are they going to fight. You know, I've heard sometimes and people say, my wife and I, we don't fight. And I'm always thinking, what? Or I'm thinking, that you know of. You know, someone's keeping it all in. But maybe they don't fight. Good for them. Happy for them. Well, guess what? My wife and I fight. We have some pretty good ones, too, every now and then in our years of marriage. The issue, the question is not, are we going to have conflict? The issue is, what are we going to do to resolve those, to handle those? And that's really what I want us to think about here this morning a little bit. And so I want us to first think about this tool right here that I was going to use to fix the... No, I wasn't going to use to fix that, but hammer. Anybody use a hammer? Who hasn't used a hammer, right? What a great tool. Isn't this a great tool? You know, the thing about a hammer is... You know, you make mistakes with it. You ever made a mistake with a hammer? Has anybody ever, instead of hitting the nail, ever hit their... doesn't that hurt? Or how about when you're nailing something, have you ever nailed too far and you went down into the next board or the whatever you were, you know, hammering and you, I didn't mean to hit it that hard and go that far through. Have you ever kind of hit the nail off-centered and you kind of, now you got a crooked bent nail, right? We've all done that. You know, sometimes we're a lot like this hammer in our relationships, and sometimes we pound each other. Have you ever felt like you're being pounded by somebody? Maybe in a marriage situation, maybe in a job situation, a relationship maybe a coworker, a boss, and you just feel like you're being pounded, right? We do that to each other sometimes. We hammer each other. We pound each other. We say things and we do things that hurt each other. We're like a hammer. We're like that hammerhead here. But you know, there's a great thing about the hammer. There's the second part of this hammer, right? There's the head, right? But you flip it over and what do you got here? You got the claw. Now, you can tear stuff down with the claw. I've done some tearing down with this, and you can do a lot with just a hammer and tearing down there with that claw. But primarily, what's this claw for? Isn't it really primarily for when you make mistakes? Isn't that what it's there to, you know, you pull that nail out, you see, when it gets crooked or you've gone too far, you can pull that out and you can correct and you can try to then mend and repair and fix. I want us to think about that this morning. I want us to think about that hammer analogy here. And I want us to think about how we can repair, mend the relationship sometimes that there's going to be some pain. There's going to be some hurt. How can we deal with each other when that happens? You know, again, the issue is not whether we're talking about marriages or parenting or relationships with one another in the church. It's not a matter of, you know, are we ever going to have fights? We are going to have fights. And it's not those fusses and fights that destroy the love and harmony and unity. It's how we respond to them. So I want us to think about really this, how we respond. And we're going to kind of first look at the offender. When you are the offender, you know, and there's a lot of things we could note here this morning, but I want to think first of those that maybe give the offense and what they can do. And then we'll kind of think also more about those who, when you are offended. But the first relationship repair that we can do that can help us is really simple, is that relationships are repaired through honest and heartfelt apologies. Through an honest and heartfelt apology. And we've all done, we've all said, we've all acted in ways that have hurt someone. There's not a one of us here that hasn't done that this morning. We do things to embarrass ourselves, embarrass one another, strain relationships, and we've done those things. And one of the most powerful things we can do, it's very simple here, I want to keep it simple this morning, remind us, is the power, the healing power of a heartfelt, sincere apology. You know, I think it's illustrated beautifully in the story of the prodigal son. You ever thought about that, how that part of that story illustrates the healing power? Here's this rebellious son who has basically spit in the face of his father. He's basically said to his father, I wish you were dead. Because he wants his inheritance now, that he would have gotten that when his father had died. Now he wants his father to give him that inheritance now. So his father no doubt has to sell off land and property, as they would have all of that in their inheritance would be tied up there. And so he takes that inheritance and, you know, he goes off in rebellious living, wasteful living. He's a prodigal. And remember, he has that moment where he finally comes to his senses. And he says what? I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have what? Sinned against you. It's heaven. The power of an apology. And that's exactly what he does in that story. Or we think of the passage here, the scripture in Matthew 5 and 23 and 24, where Jesus talks about, you know, when you bring your offering at the altar in worship and there's a conflict between you and your brother, go first be reconciled to your brother. The urgency. Then come back and bring your offering and your worship to God. That's going to no doubt be dealing with confession and acknowledging wrongdoing in that regard. I love how someone has said it's more rewarding to resolve a conflict than to dissolve a relationship. It's more rewarding to resolve a conflict than to dissolve a relationship. I'll let you on a little secret in my life. It's really no secret of all. I've had to do this a bunch in my life. I've had to realize the, you know, when I've said and done something to someone and I've hurt someone, maybe a friend, a family, co-worker, whatever it might be, and I've had to go and apologize. I've had to go do that to my family, my wife down here. And I'll tell you, it's even hard when you're up preaching and you know you've done stuff that you've hurt your wife. That's a tough one, I'll tell you, on those Sundays that that's happened. But let me tell you something. The healing power of a heartfelt, sincere apology. Saying I'm sorry is incredibly powerful. Now let me tell you this morning, because I know we've got a good number here. Are you listening? There are some of you that need to do this in your relationships. You need to look hard and say, there are some relationships that I have strained, that I have hurt, things I have done, and I need to apologize. I need to say the words. I need to acknowledge it there in a relationship that's been damaged. There's incredibly healing power in doing that. Maybe that involves whether it's family relationships, maybe a friend, a co-worker, whatever. Maybe it's one another in the congregation here. What have we just said already? This is not some organization that we're in. We're not in a club. We're in a family in the church. And maybe some of us are sitting there, and that's what we need to be realizing is we need to be seeking out someone. We need to be apologizing. We need to be saying, I'm sorry. I've hurt you. I've done this. Please forgive me. We need to pick up the phone and call that person, whatever it might be. Don't be listening to this, also this sermon, and thinking in this regard, that's right, so-and-so needs to pick up the phone and call me. No, you need to do it. I'll tell you, early on in my ministry, and I've made many mistakes, and this was one that I definitely look back and regret. It was a Sunday night in Cleveland, and I got into it with a brother right there in the foyer. Now, we didn't physically get into it, but we went at each other verbally. I mean, right there in the church, I mean, here I am, the preacher, and he said things, and I came back, and he came back, and I mean, it just, thankfully, a lot of folks had left at that point, but there we were, fighting right there in the church. And I got home, and, you know, I stewed on it a little bit, you know, and, I, you know, he shouldn't have, and I, you know, I finally picked up the phone, and I called him, and I said, brother, I've got to say this, I'm sorry, I was out of line. Now, he was out of line too. He was out of line too. And you know, when I went across that bridge and I told him I was sorry, guess what he said immediately? I'm sorry too, brother. I was out of line. I lost my cool. But you see, that's the healing power of an apology, of forgiveness. You know, we confess our sins to one another. And by the way, this isn't so much the focus of this lesson this morning. When someone asks our forgiveness with a sincere, heartfelt apology, forgive them. Forgive them. Remember what Ephesians 4 tells us, among other places? That we're to have love for one another tenderheartedly. That we are to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, even as God in Christ has forgiven you, Ephesians 4:32. Jesus said, if you want God to forgive you, you have to forgive men of their trespasses against you. And so when someone offers the heartfelt, sincere apology, when they confess the wrongdoing, forgive them. We're going to come back to that as well now as we think about not only the one who has been the offender, but those who've been offended. We have a part in mending the relationship. We're talking about repairing relationships. We've got a part as well. It's not just, well, now, okay, it's all their part. They've wronged me. They've now. What do I need to be doing to mend relationships, even when I have been wronged and hurt? Well, this is the second area, I think, that it will help us here this morning a little bit as we spend some time here. Relationships are repaired through patience and tolerance, loving patience and tolerance for each other. There in Ephesians 4, if you might want to turn over there to that verse, Ephesians 4, Paul, as he's dealing with unity, before he gets into the unity and the harmony in the body of Christ to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, he talks about attitudes there in Ephesians 4 and verse 2. And he says, be completely humble, gentle. He says, be patient, bearing with one another in love. He starts with attitudes. He starts here with humility, gentleness, how we respond towards each other, with patience. And there the word there is long-tempered, as opposed to a short fuse. Long-tempered. The idea there is when we have some aggravating behavior that people have towards us, when people make us mad, when people upset us, we're to be long-tempered. We're to have patience with each other. Many fusses in church, in marriages, in relationships with each other could be mended and healed if we just had long-suffering with each other, even when exasperating behavior is done. And then tolerance there, that we're to bear with one another. And some translations say intolerance. We are to, I like how a couple of translations say, paraphrases really, the New Living Translation says, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. The Contemporary English Version says, patiently put up with each other and love each other. Isn't that great? We need to put up with each other. Any successful family, any successful home life is going to have to learn to put up with each other. And we got to talk about that in our home often. Maggie and I, the kids, we have to put up with each other. We have to put up with exasperating behavior sometimes. We need to be patient. We need to be tolerant. That's the kind of stuff we have to be talking about in a physical family. You know, a lot of folks, they didn't grow up in that kind of environment. Some folks grow up in homes where they didn't learn any kind of loving patience and tolerance. You talk about folks that can put the funk in dysfunctional. We got folks that have grown up in that kind of environment and they weren't taught and modeled that kind of loving tolerance and patience. So we come into the church, we come in relationships with each other, and that's what we're going to have and extend to each other is loving patience, loving tolerance, being willing to forgive each other and offer grace to each other. Couple illustrations that I think are wonderful to think about in this regard. A couple of illustrations that I think we can point to and see this demonstrated. One is from a woman named Clara Barton. I don't know if you heard that name or not. She was the first president. She was the founder of the Red Cross. And she was an extraordinary woman. During the time of the Civil War, she was a nurse. She was a teacher. She was just a great humanitarian. And there was a time in her life when she had a particular function. She had planned a particular event and a party, if you will. And she made up a guest list. And she had a friend of hers to kind of help her double check that guest list and kind of look that over and she so that they could send out the invitations. Well, her friend was looking at that guest list and she noticed a name on there. And she went to Sarah and she said, Claire, and she said, I think you made a mistake here. Don't you remember what she did to you? Don't you remember how she hurt you, what she said about you? And Clara Barton said, no, I distinctly remember forgetting about it. That's good. Someone been ugly to you? Someone been cruel to you? Someone been hard to you? Has someone in a moment, in a heated, angry moment, a passion, maybe a spouse, a loved one, a friend, a coworker, have they said and done something that hurt you? Maybe what you need to do, like Clara Barton is, you need to remember that you forgot it. You need to have long-suffering and patience and tolerance with each other. You say, Robert, that's hard. Yeah, if it was easy, more relationships would be good, right? Everyone would be getting along in life. But this is hard. This is hard in life. This is hard in church. This is hard in relationships with each other, making allowances for each other's weaknesses, patiently putting up with one another. Let me give you another illustration, kind of from the same time period. General Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee is recognized by just folks across the spectrum and the board as a greatly respected man, a great man of integrity. And after the defeat of the Confederacy, Lee helped bring about a lot of reconciliation in our divided country after the Civil War. He was a man who did not bore a grudge. He was a man who just believed that it was important to build the country back. And even after that day when he had to surrender at Appomattox there to General Grant and sign the end of the Civil War, in the deep, deep, darkest days of the Civil War, he was about helping bring healing. There was so much resentment. There was so much bitterness. I don't think we can sometimes grasp the deep bitterness and resentment that existed between the North and the South in the days following the Civil War. And yet our country was going to have to be held together somehow. Well, I'm thankful for people that tried to bring about and promote the importance of healing and reconciliation. Well, Lee did that. He became an ambassador of that in some ways. One time he was visiting a farm in Lexington, Virginia. And he was visiting a woman there in Lexington, Virginia. And she was showing him out back this beautiful, had once been this beautiful oak tree that had been in the family there on that farm and that home for just years, decades. And she was showing him how the artillery from the Union cannons and guns had just mangled that beautiful, once beautiful, glorious oak tree. And she was so bitter, and she was so angry about it. And she was showing General Lee that, and she said, "What do you think about that?" And General Robert E. Lee was such a thoughtful man, and he thought about what he wanted to say. And he told her, "Cut it down, my dear madame, and forget about it." That's good advice. That's biblical advice. We'd be surprised of the unity and harmony that would begin to emerge in our relationships if we would just cut it down and forget about it. Some things in your life maybe that you're struggling with that maybe you need to cut it down and forget about it before it consumes your life. Whether it's in the home, whether it's in the office, whether it's in the church, the body of Christ, and they've done this or she's done that or he said that or whatever it might be. Cut it down and forget about it. That's what healthy families do. They have patience, they have tolerance, they seek forgiveness, they extend grace. I also love what Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 13 and 5. You know this chapter, the great love chapter. Paul writing to a church that's very much having disunity there in Corinth. And Paul, as he speaks about love, he says there in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, you know these words. Verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. Listen to this one, it keeps no record of wrongs. That's a word in the original that was used in accounting, a ledger. People can keep mental ledgers in their minds about every time someone has wronged them and hurt them and did something to aggravate them and upset them. And Paul here says, love doesn't keep record of wrong. There's no record keeping in love. Love is to forgive. Yes, and forget, but qualified here, I think, clarified. People will often say this. I've heard this. I've even said some of this myself. Forgive and forget. And some people will say, that's how God is, you know. God tells us that He forgives our sins and He what? Remembers them no more. But that needs to be, I think, clarified a little bit. It is not saying that God actually does not remember our sins. Let me tell you something. That would mean we know things that God doesn't know, and that's crazy. It is not saying that God literally does not remember our sins. It's saying God treats us as though we did not sin. And that's the key. We are remembering what others have done to us, and we are treating them, though, as though they did not do it. That is to remember, but to forget. That's the idea here, because you can't get out of your mind. I've had this with people say, Robert, I can't forget it. And I say, I'll tell them, you're never going to be able to forget what they did. You're never going to be able to block that idea and that memory out of your mind. But you've got to remember it and forget it. Treat them as though they have not done it. That's what forgiveness, I think, means, is forgiving and forgetting. Remembering and still forgiving anyway. Not getting it out of our minds completely. And of course, we need to remember that God is so patient with us. He's so lovingly tolerant with us. I mean, when we're not what we should be, when we are short with others, when we are when we have exasperating behavior, when we annoy others, when we say things and do things and don't keep our promises, and we act immature and we accuse others of things that are wrong. I mean, God is so tolerant of us. And He's the model. He's the one we're to model our lives in Jesus Christ after. That we should remember that when we think about what we have to do with others is to lovingly tolerate and have patience and forgiveness with each other. God does that towards us to the infinite degree. I don't know if you ever think about this. Just, it's almost a magical way when we have this forgiveness and when we extend grace when others have pounded us, when others have hammered us a little bit, when we've done the hammering to others and we've pounded others. Remember that claw. Remember that we can repair, we can heal, we can mend relationships by practicing forgiveness, by practicing patience and tolerance, to be gentle with others, to remember we don't know what others have went through, what they've been going through. Love believes all things, hopes all things, gives others the benefit of the doubt in all things. And I think a lot of times it's just we would be so much better off if we would remember this in our relationships with each other. Let's pray, and then we'll offer the invitation. Father, as we contemplate the reality of our relationships as a family, Father, not just in our biological family, not just in our relationships with each other, but Father, especially in the church, as we've been thinking about the church as a family. Father, that I pray that all of us would have a renewed determination to try to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Father, to enjoy wonderful unity and harmony with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, the blessing of harmony, it is it's a wonderful thing when brothers and sisters dwell with each other in love and unity. And yet, Father, we don't minimize the hurt. We don't minimize and excuse when we have been wronged and when we wrong others, Father. And Father, when we've offended others, help us to give us that spirit of being willing to confess, to acknowledge the wrong, with a heartfelt, sincere apology, say, I'm sorry. And Father, may it be received in that spirit always. May we, Father, give grace and forgiveness when others come and acknowledge and confess wrongdoing, Father. But Father, even for those who have been offended, Father, may we learn better to just be patient with each other, to practice tolerance with each other. Father, to overlook, to Father, sometimes when people have done and said things to us, Father, may we learn to just cut it down and remember it no more. Father, we just pray that You would give us the Spirit in our relationships, that we would treat each other, Father, as a family. And Father, we know we have different personalities. We know we have different views. We bring different experiences, Father, to just not only an earthly family, but in the spiritual family, the church, Father, and at the congregation here at Crosstown. Help us to always be a church that is a family. We're not an organization, Father. We're not a club. We are a family. And Father, families love one another. Families put up with each other, Father. Families tolerate one another. Exasperating behavior, attitudes, words, Father. Help us to have this spirit with one another. Father, we're thankful for this congregation. We pray that You would continue to bless us as a family here at Crosstown. And Father, we're thankful for You and for Your Son Jesus, that Father, You're so patient with us. When we fail You, when we hurt You, Father, when we just have behavior that disappoints You and is exasperating to You, Father, we're thankful for Your mercy. We're thankful for Your tolerance and patience with us. And Father, as we've been forgiven in Christ, may we do the same towards others, Father, with each other. Again, we're thankful for Jesus, and it's in His blessed name that we pray, that we offer this prayer. Amen. You know, it's amazing. Isn't it amazing to be a part of the family of God?